Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McHugh again. I have some brief camp notes for today. That's June 6th, 2025, 81st anniversary of D-Day. Big event in our country's history. Think about it a little bit in terms of the sacrifices made and whatnot. Obviously, a major turning point in World War II. Starting off with the Ravens' absences, Lamar Jackson was out today. Definitely changed the nature of the practice. The quarterback accuracy was one of the big stories. It was not particularly good today. And Lamar Jackson missing practice, obviously, never a good thing. A lot of other players also missed practice. Derrick Henry, Rasheen Ali, and Justice Hill among the running backs. That doesn't leave a lot, but Keaton Mitchell saw some action in run drills certainly today. So did some other guys. Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and DeAndre Hopkins. So the top three receivers also out. Not something that you'd have ideally happen. Tyler Linderbaum missed practice. Dafe Owe was there, but Kyle Hamilton. I saw that Jeff had reported that Dafe was not there, but I thought I saw him there anyway. Kyle Hamilton was not there. Nnamdi Madubuike not there. Kyle Van Noy not there. And Jake Hummel not there. There was a brief mention made that Jake Hummel has just had a baby and he's missed the OTAs to date. But that may have been the reason for it is that, with the new baby, he decided he's going to miss these voluntary OTAs. The lone quarterback highlight that I saw today was a long pass from Leary to Tez Walker. Other than that, the quarterback play was just awful. A lot of overthrows. I think the defense generally had the upper hand today. In particular, Nate Wiggins was very dominant in the final segment of 11-on-11. They did a lot of run drill stuff. One thing that we really saw was the pace was extremely fast. So they got to the line of scrimmage and went. The defense seemed to be more up to the challenge for that. So getting back to Wiggins for a second, he intercepted an overthrow from Cooper Rush. That was deep on the offensive left side for one play, and then he had a pass defense in the end zone in the final play of practice. I didn't see if that was Leary in the game, but my guess is it probably was, and that knocked away a pass from Tylan Wallace that otherwise might have been a TD. So anyway, that's it for the 11-on-11 stuff. The rest of the run drills, I'm sorry, a little more on that. There's a lot of communication from the defense. Might have been a point of emphasis that they want to see the defense communicating with changes in offensive set. And it's very loud today in terms of hearing the players communicating with each other and moving around, really fast sets. And it had to be something they were planning to practice for the defense. It's impressive. And since the defense had the upper hand, I think that they probably did a very good job with that communication. I saw Trenton Simpson had a very nice play to contain Mitchell, and then Mitchell had good burst off the left side on a well-blocked play. Ronnie Stanley was there on that left side to play. So it's Ben Cleveland was in there as well. Voorhees actually was at the other guard spot today, but they were having obviously a little bit of a patchwork situation on the offensive line with Linderbaum missing. Let's see what else happened. I'd say the practice was very physical for not having pads, in particular this last segment. They're getting after each other a little bit, and they're trying to engage on blocks and whatnot without pads, which is I would just say a higher physical level than you normally see at this point in the OTAs. It might have been they just wanted it for one segment or whatever, but it was good physical football, and it was nice to see. It's the most physical we've seen the players get these OTAs so far. So I was happy to see that. And I mentioned the pace. I don't need to go into that. A couple defensive highlights. Teddy Buchanan had a burst off the offensive left side. He's unblocked. There's an apparent sack. The play wasn't blown dead, and that's typically what they do when they have non-live fire sessions, is they'll credit that player with a sack and their own stats, but then they let the play go off, and then the defensive backs and the wide receiver get a chance to make a play, and not to mention the quarterback making a throw. But it looked like Buchanan probably had a sack unblocked off the OLS. Mike Green drew a double team. This is an interesting thing. So Carson Vinson, obviously was the primary responsibility for it, but Jared Penning got over on a help block and actually managed to. It was a one then two situation where Green actually, I think, got past Vincent and then was blocked by Penning, who was coming over to help. So it was an interesting situation. Obviously, Mike Green drawing some attention from the offense, as we expect him to do this year from opposing offensive lines as well. A lot of bad overthrows in practice. I guess it's worth mentioning a second time. Overthrows on the sideline, overthrows some in the middle of the field, but most of them either going left or right and high was the general tendency of passes. I thought I saw Adafe Owe. Again, Jeff said he'd missed practice, and I trust that, but there was a pass knocked down the line of scrimmage, and it looked like Owe walking off the field was the one who got it. I might have misread the number. But it was in the last segment. One of Rush's overthrows collected by Wiggins for an interception, as I mentioned earlier. So that was probably the single biggest defensive highlight. In terms of the podium, we've got a few things to talk about. John Harbaugh mentioned that the two-day visit that John Gruden had. So he was there for each of the Thursday and Friday practices. He apparently gave some notes on the players, on coaches, on scheme. He was approaching it from if I was game planning against you, what would I do? They apparently have some connection down in the Tampa area, and John invited him to practice, and Gruden was only too happy to oblige and stay 2 days. It kind of reminds me of something that I saw in a Jets training camp video a few years ago. So I assume it was Hard Knocks, but it might have even been something else, where they invited Joe Namath to camp. And of course you want Joe Namath to be part of Jets camp because he's a huge part of Jets history. And he actually is a guy who was a great student of the game. And that was something that came out in some of the old Super Bowl videos from about 5 through about 8 or 9. He was on the part of the Super Bowl pregame show, like the Colts Dallas Super Bowl, Super Bowl 5. I mean, Namath is in mid-career, and he's doing the pregame show talking about the Colts and the Cowboys there. And it was really well done. What he brought to that broadcast was very good. And so Namath, student of the game, coming back at age, I would say, 70 or older to Jets camp. He probably even was older than that, would have been my guess. So anyway, he came into Jets camp, and he sat in on a meeting after a practice, and basically they asked, hey, Joe, what did you see today? And I think they were expecting a fine. And Joe had this list of about 15 things he went over. And it's really specific stuff. Like, you know, what happens is when the quarterback doesn't get his hand under the football properly, that's when problems start to happen with the exchange. And we had a couple of fumbles in the exchange today. That didn't go well. So that's got to be cleaned up. And then, he'll go into other stuff too. And you could see the eyes of these other coaches glazing over. It's like, we wanted one thing, or we wanted two things. anyway, getting back to Gruden's visit, this is a similar situation where Gruden apparently had notes on each offensive player that he gave. I thought they said offensive lineman, but the interview is each offensive player. John thought that, you know, players appreciate those notes. They want to know what they're not doing well. And if you know, somebody else gives them that, that's still a little bit different from their coach, that's a good thing. They want to, I would question exactly how much they want to know, but he said that John also had mentioned how nice the setting was at the Ravens facility. And if you haven't been out there for camp or whatever, and I think even it loses something as soon as you bring in fans in terms of the idyllic setting, and there's nothing wrong with fans. Love having fans at practice. I think it's really good for the team to have fans in that setting and have some noise being made and whatnot. And it brings an energy level that's higher. But when there's no fans there and it's just a few straggling media people, like about 30 probably, and all of the entourage that goes around the teams, it is an idyllic setting. You were out in the middle of a forest, effectively. There's trees on all sides. And he mentioned there's no fences, no traffic. And he's right on the money. I mean, it's just a beautiful setting to have your football facility in. And, they built a castle right there. And it's the one thing that John made fun of today was that there's a lot of construction noise going on. They're finishing off the back end of the castle. I don't want to go into it in any great detail, but they had a tar smell that was wafting into practice. And he said, well, that's, you never know when you're going to have to play defense when you're tired and there'd be a tar smell coming in. So that was part of our strategy. And, you know, obviously he's tongue in cheek, and I'm not sure how much people were getting it, but it was obviously a joke. He did talk one more thing about Gruden was that he said, Gruden was grinding on the players pretty hard. He used that word. And the players want to get better. But I think he probably appreciated everything John brought to practice. He certainly acted like he appreciated everything John brought to practice. But it was something that using that word, it's just an interesting word to use in terms of how much Gruden was getting on the individual players about what was going on. So anyway, I think the Namath thing is my analogous memory to Gruden's visit. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think, you know, hey, you bring in someone from the outside who's well-respected already around the league and by players, I think it's probably a good thing, net. But I think there are questions about just how far you want that guy digging into your business. They actually asked a question. Did you give him a playbook? Did you give him a script? And Harbaugh, no, we didn't give either of those things. We got to draw the line somewhere. Listen to the interview, if you will. See if you pick up any of what I'm saying about this relationship with Gruden. I mean, obviously, John Harbaugh invited him to practice. But this is part of my reading between the lines in interviews. I wonder if he would do that same thing again, or if he would, you know, have Bill Belichick join him for a practice, or somebody else who's retired from the NFL. Belichick would be a bad choice because he's still working, but somebody else who would come to practice and just, you know, look around for a while for what's going on, give notes to players, and would have the kind of access that Gruden was clearly given. A few more things about Harbaugh at the podium. They was asked about Aaron Rodgers and his signing. He said he respects the Steelers, but he has no real reaction to the signing. Respects the team, the coaches, and hey, they respect Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback, blah, 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 blah. I don't think this moves the meter for the Baltimore Ravens on the Pittsburgh Steelers even. So it is what it is. He was asked about the evolution of Chuck Pagano. Said he's a very high enthusiasm coach. Gets along great with Zach Orr, which is good. It's exactly what the Ravens want. These retiree callbacks that the Ravens had the last 2 years, Dean Pease, I think, you know, you'd have to say, did some very positive things in terms of helping Zach Orr fix the defense last year. At least that would be my interpretation of things. I saw him be animated during games. I've seen him, in various ways. I think Orr really appreciated who Dean Pease was in terms of bringing him. I think the relationship between Orr and Pagano, I am guessing from all I've heard so far and from what I've seen, that Zach Orr does not feel in any way threatened by Chuck Pagano. Chuck Pagano doesn't want to be a head coach, doesn't want to be, I assume he doesn't want to be a defensive coordinator, though you never know. I mean, if Zach Orr were to move on to a head coaching role, Chuck Pagano might be an interim or a couple of years a defensive coordinator for this team. It's not completely out of the picture, but I don't think he's threatening or in any way. And I think that's probably a major point of his role here, is to not be a threatening presence for Zach Orr, and instead to be a guy who makes him feel comfortable in his role and makes him feel like a contribution is being made to what he's trying to accomplish. And obviously there will be times when they might disagree on something and he needs to very quickly, agree with Zach and his position on things, because he is the boss. And that's, I think, a key relationship component. Lamar's absence, John had some things to say about that. He said Lamar was great the day he was out there for OTAs. He didn't really take any position on the absence. It's a voluntary camp. Lamar loves being out here when he is. And he says the only measure that really matters is that Lamar's great when he comes to play. So is he going to be ready for training camp? I don't think he has any doubt that that's the case. But I do think that regardless of what he says, John is a little bit disappointed that Lamar was not here for these practices. One of the issues is that the nature of practice changes entirely, starting with who else shows up. So you had all these absences from wide receivers and running backs today. Tyler Linderbaum as well. I mean, Linderbaum may have been an injury. Any of these guys might have been some minor injury they didn't want to test and whatnot, but that's a lot of absences. And I can't help but think the absence of Lamar plays a role in that. You know, do you really want to come and catch the ball from Cooper Rush? Is it really as important when Lamar's not there and you don't have the number one in? So that's, I do believe that John would prefer it if Lamar were there at the very minimum. And some of the points were made earlier this week or last week, I guess, that when Lamar was there, everything's just different in terms of an energy for the practice.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Practice in terms of everybody being there. Otherwise, and if you look at attendance on the days Lamar's been there, the days Lamar has, it's completely different, completely freaking different. So you don't want to miss a day where Lamar's there, but hey, if Lamar's taking off, maybe I could take off too, kind of thing. Other questions. He was asked about Kane and Breed getting time on the back end. Good question, by the way. I think this was Nick Mehta who asked this. He said they're both going to get a chance and they'll have to prove it and earn it. And he thought in terms of stepping up, they really have to. This speaks to the Ravens' current desperation at the safety position. Now, yesterday, Zach Orr was asked about the JAD presence at safety, so we can talk about it now in terms of what we've seen. And he has been there at safety a little bit. It hasn't been a ton of plays, but he's been there for a few plays this week. And it's a last refuge, a last attempt at a solution with the personnel you have. Okay, so the Ravens don't have every safety that they probably will have for camp. In fact, Harbaugh said it's always possible bringing some from the outside. I think it's a lot more than possible right now for the Baltimore Ravens that they'll bring in someone, a vet, maybe another young player, but a player hopefully who will be a multi-year solution if they're young, and if it's a vet, it probably is only a one-year solution. to basically cover for the fact that they're missing Ardarius Washington. That is, it's a huge amount of versatility was lost, and it's a strain on both DB positions, on both safety and corner, to have Ardarius missing because of what a good potential slot contributor he has. They don't have a player like Arthur Mollette from last year or from 2 years ago, maybe more accurately, who can really help them in terms of filling a position at maybe a league average level. They don't have that kind of a player. So they have to either lean on Marlon Humphrey to play a ton of slot, which they can do, find a safety and move Kyle Hamilton down, which they can do, or they have to, you know, and if they do that with Humphrey or with Hamilton, they have to make sure that their depth holds up at both the safety spot in the Hamilton's case or the corner spot in Humphrey's case. I talked about this at great length on Friday Morning GM on yesterday's show. So please go back to that if you want to hear my thoughts more on that particular problem. He said he had high hopes for Keaton Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell looks like he had his good burst today. Looks like he's over some of the things about his knee. I'll get into it because Keaton Mitchell is also at the podium today, which is one of the nice things. He expects Nate Wiggins to be locked in and focused on the little things. He finished great today, an interception and a PD. He's at the podium, a little bit difficult to hear, but he was at the podium today. Mentioned, talked about Jake Hummel a little bit. Apparently the baby was the reason for the absence today, and he did mention that. And then he turned over to Chad Steele and he goes, "Hey, maybe you should put something out about that." And Chad says, "I think you just did." So anyway, the word is out that Hummel, that's the reason Hummel's missed some camp. Tyler Loop made a 60-yard field goal today. There's some question as to whether it was good or not. Question was asked, and he said, "Oh, the kicks were right down the middle." I couldn't really tell whether he was joking or not. But I think they're pretty happy with the straightness of Tyler Loop's kicks, that's a very good and very important thing. So that was Harbaugh at the podium today. I didn't think there was anything earth shattering there, but I did think some of the Gruden stuff and the Lamar absence, he had some interesting responses on. Nate Wiggins came to the podium next. He said he's gained weight and is playing at about 185 pounds. I asked him, did he have a favorite shoulder to play? And the idea there is he's played left corner mostly in his career so far. He could move to right corner and play full time. That's one of the things they could do. They could also chase receivers or travel, sometimes people call it, to be able to have Wiggins on a number one or a number two, whatever they think is good. Sometimes the strategy is you play your number two, you play the opponent's number two wide receiver on an island with your best corner, and then you work two-man schemes on the other guy's number one corner. They could do any number of things. And some things that have never been available to the Ravens before are now. They've never had a corner period with Wiggins' speed. So he gives them different options in terms of how they want to attack opposing offenses, as opposed to letting those offenses dictate the choice of matchup, which I thought was a particular weakness of the 24 Ravens, is that the other team basically could set whoever they wanted against Brandon Stevens to take advantage of him and the fact that he was having a lot of trouble finding the football. So the Ravens have more options this year. Some of it has to do with Wiggins. The question I was asking specifically related to how he likes to where he wants the ball coming over shoulder wise, and some of that deals with where his dominant hand is relative to the receiver. Now, I have heard it both ways, but I think it's more common. You want your dominant hand to the inside towards the quarterback, and you want to keep your non-dominant hand in a position where you can trail the receiver on more often than not with that hand to keep track of where he is when you want to peek into the backfield. So it's a fine motor skill, and that's why I asked the question, which hand do you try and pass? Do you try and deflect passes with? So I think it's generally done with your dominant hand. So if you think about it, if somebody threw a football at you and you had to intercept the ball, you'd go for it with two hands, and you'd try and catch the ball like a wide receiver would. And you try and position your body to box out and position it to catch the football with both hands. If you're trying to tip a pass, it's different thing you're trying to do. You're trying to spoil that play. And whether you're clubbing or whether you're going up high for the ball, you typically would do it with your dominant hand. More often than not, Wiggins said today he doesn't have a dominant shoulder. He's comfortable playing on either side. Doesn't matter to him. That may or might not be true, but it doesn't matter. I respect the answer. The question seemed to be foreign to him, but that's okay. He's a young guy. I understand where he's coming from. He thinks the secondary will come out fast. This was interesting. He said that he really appreciated Pagano's help, particularly in working with him on press technique and getting his hands on opposing receivers. That's great to hear. Great to hear. Something that Wiggins is now built physically more to be an effective press corner. His elfin build was, I think, probably would have held him back some last year. He looks really still kind of rail thin, but I'd say he's working with more muscle-wise, more good weight on his body. I does not look in any way like he's lost speed from the fact that he's probably carrying a little more weight. So that's very good news. What else did I have to say about that? He's an interesting interviewee because he sways while he's speaking. I remember getting this as a criticism at times in my distant past, both in learning to speak as far back as I think seventh grade, and then also having a problem with it even when I was first doing anything from a presentation perspective for classes in college, is that I have a natural tendency to sway back and forth. And some of it is if your knees are in a certain way or you've been standing up for a long time and he had been at practice, that you're a little bit tired and swaying is more natural. And some people, it's more of a natural, it's a affectation. But anyway, it kind of reduces sound quality at the podium for Nate Wiggins. So it's something that I kind of picked up on, and I had this, you know, memories of things that have happened to me in my background in terms of giving presentations. All right, Keaton Mitchell, next up at the podium. He has some interesting things to say. So he's got a lot of questions about the knee. Three or four questions were about the knee. He said it's feeling great. He's overcome the mental aspect about worrying about being tackled or what might happen next. So that was good. Then he made an interesting comment. He uses, these are his own words. He said, you know, you when you faced adversity like a career-ending injury, and he used those words, career-ending injury, you know, such and so. And then Jonas followed up on that, and he asked him, did he think the injury was career-ending? And he says, no, I didn't think it was career-ending because I know who I was, and I knew I was going to do whatever's necessary. I was going to finish what I started, yada, yada. But it was a well-made point that there's obviously tremendous fear from Keaton in terms of how this injury was at least going to impact him. And it's impacted the Ravens in a huge way, that he's gone for effectively a full season with no productive component of 2024 that he can point to after an unbelievable 2023. It's kind of an insight into Keaton's mind in terms of where he was with that injury. I'm not sure who asked him. Might have been Jonas again about the 22.4 mile per hour reading that he'd been tweeting about. And Jonas asked about the conditions. What conditions? And what he's really asking is, were you in pads when you do this? Were you in were you wearing your football helmet or whatnot? And he started to answer a different question. He said, oh, I ran 22.2 as a rookie. I think he said as a rookie. When I first got here was the words he uses. I think that was as a rookie. And 22.4 a couple of weeks ago indoors. And what he said was he was doing sprints and Anthony Miller was racing with him. And they always say this about long distance runners or even about milers and things. It really helps to have, or horses sometimes, it helps to have another fast human or horse next to you in order to help you run faster. And apparently that really helped. Running against Anthony Miller was just a ticket. So did it indoors against Anthony Miller doing some sprints. So I'm not sure, you know, what the system that it was recorded on, but that's a nice reading, obviously. Asked about what he's learned from Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has helped him take care of his body. He's picking up on those kind of things. He talked a lot about who Derrick Henry was without really saying how it benefited him directly, but he's obviously observing who Derrick Henry was. That's cool. And he'll pick the pieces that work for him. But the one that he mentioned was taking care of his body and making sure that he's ready to play. He was asked about things he wants to bring to his game. And this is where he said something interesting about the return duties. So first of all, he referred to Justice Hill moving up and he was doing the dirty work. So Justice Hill is moving into a role where he's a running back, and he used to be a great special teams player for the Ravens. He had only three non-kick return special team snaps in all of 2024, which is surprising to me. I just did the Justice Hill and Broderick Washington expectation show, and that was the first I really realized how little special teams Justice Hill had played in 24. But since he's needed as the number two back, that's a guy you generally want to keep off special teams. But Keaton Mitchell, he's perfectly fine to be on special teams. And in particular, that kickoff return duty is something I think Mitchell is looking forward to. He spoke specifically about additional returns that were likely because of the 35-yard line touchback. He expects be able to return more kicks, that the kicking team is going to put more balls in play, and that's going to create more return opportunities. He wants to be thought of as a Devin Hester type, where teams don't want to kick the ball to his side. Now, in the current way that teams are, they may even be forced to do this, may have to have three guys back, but they generally split the field, usually between two different running backs who are return men, or two different return men anyway. And those guys each basically carry half a field. I think he wants to get the other team kicking the opposite side of the field on a regular basis. He would consider a win. I'm sure he wants to actually return some kicks himself too. Talked a little bit about what he'd done before there. He had not done any of that at ECU. So his role last year with the Ravens was some of the first kick return stuff he's done. And at ECU, obviously he's the feature back, so that's not somebody you'd want returning kicks if you want to make sure your feature back stays healthy. So interesting time at the podium for Keaton. Looks happy, looks healthy, ball of muscle in terms of what he looks like physically. And great to see him have a little bit of burst on the field today too. He had one nice play, as I mentioned earlier, one that where he got kind of contained by Trenton Simpson, which I think was more a nice play by Simpson than any kind of slowness on his part. But another play where he seemed to be getting out and making a nice move on a play that was well blocked to the left side. One more thing he said about kickoff returns, which was very interesting, and he said, It comes natural to running backs because it's like an outside zone running play. And so what he's talking about is you're constantly probing that line as you are running back moving, let's say right on a zone right play, for the point at which that coverage unit is breaking down in terms of gap assignments. So at that point, you stick your foot in the ground and you go, you hit the open gap and you make the best return you can. I've never heard it actually talked about that way. But it's interesting that Keaton views it that way, and I could see how he'd be successful at that. Anyway, that'll do it for camp notes today. OTA notes, I should say. OTAs will resume next week for 4 days, the 9th through the 12th. I'll plan to be there every day, and I'll have OTA notes on the next day. Otherwise, look forward to that expectations series, which is out there. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe there. I'm trying to grow the YouTube subscribership a little bit. The podcast is where people go to find this content. Honestly, you folks are amazingly loyal. You've been subscribers for years. You get it downloaded to your phone. But if you happen to be out on YouTube, a relatively minor percentage of the total people who consume this content do so there. Please like and subscribe, and it'll come back and at least be algorithmically suggested to other people who like similar content. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.